Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, day three in Vegas, boys. We've made it to day three. Doesn't it feel great?
We have made it to day three.
The
overcashed. Yeah, a lot of people didn't think it would last.
My body feels a lot worse already.
Honesty is very appreciated.
Yeah, no. It's just, I don't know, something about the combination of the air.
It's the air.
Both the air outside and the air inside. It's not a great air situation.
I didn't know outside
exists.
It's
low on the air in Vegas. Yeah.
It is certainly not. You guys went to the Knights game last night. I, once again, not on the group text, didn't get invited. No big deal. It's whatever.
You were at dinner.
I was at dinner. I was at dinner before the game, but then you guys went off. Whatever. It's fine. Me and Lawrence and producer Damien, we went out. We had ourselves a night in the town. We had
fun. The B team.
No, that's one way to think of it, I suppose. Or the good team.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, we didn't need to go to a hockey game. We were in Vegas. We could find other things to do.
That's
it's
fair.
Fine.
No, we blame Drew Dinsick for that.
Yeah, yes,
organizing
fair enough.
The event.
Yep. Listen, we had to make it a day three because, listen, the guest list today, Puka Nacua is joining the show.
Fantasy football royalty, Puka Nacua.
Peacocky winner,
Puka Nacua.
We're going to get his thoughts on winning a Peacocky.
Finally ask him for his acceptance speech.
Yes, and the best part is he's opening up for Lawrence Jackson to join the show
there
as well.
You go.
So after Puka, Lawrence Jackson will be on the show. We will talk DFS plays of the weekend. But as we do, let's get into the Roto World headlines. For all your Roto World headlines, go to NBCSports.com, and we'll start with obviously, we've heard from the Niners and the Chiefs throughout this week here at Super Bowl, and Andy Reid on possible retirement, saying today's not the day, although our Matthew Berry had a very different bold prediction. Let's take a listen from earlier in the week.
Here's a bold prediction that I have no inside information at all, but crazy bold prediction. Chiefs win. Andy Reid retires, and the Chiefs announce Bill Belichick as their new head coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
He's a free agent. He knows how to coach a superstar quarterback. I have no inside information. That is my bold prediction.
Okay.
Chiefs win. Andy Reid retires, and they hire Belichick.
So Reid's full quote was, "Am I retiring? Listen, my mom and dad told me this when they were working. They said you'll know when it's time, and I'm ready to go right now. Let's go."
Well, he's got a Super Bowl to coach. Yes, yeah.
It matters.
But you know what? If they win it, that might be time.
He might know it's time.
I just won two in a row. You know, why not go out, you know, with a confetti behind me, right off into the sunset as a big champion? I had not heard that before, like my bold take, but I posted it on social media, and I've had people say, like, other people have said that. So, which I had not heard, so maybe it's out there. I don't know. Or maybe somebody else has also had that bold take. But I just want to say, like, I usually, like, I'm always happy to give credit when I'm like, oh, you know, somebody else had this one. I didn't hear from anyone. So maybe great minds or stupid minds think alike.
Yeah. I like that this is your new bit of pushing legends into retirement. Last year is Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
This year is Andy Reid and Travis Kelce.
Right. Yes.
Who will be next?
We'll see. So I'm 0-1.
Yeah.
0-1. We'll see. Probably 0-3.
Next year, we'll start Dak Prescott retirement rumors.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that's time. Yeah. You're the greatest ever.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Here's hoping. But anyway, we'll see. We had Peter King on yesterday's show. He's a legend, Peter King. No one's more plugged in than Peter. And he just said, we asked him his opinion. He just said, Andy Reid's not retiring.
Yeah. He also said that he wouldn't be surprised if Belichick did go to Kansas City if that role became vacant. So, one for two.
To be fair, who would say no to that job?
Right. Well, no, of course.
I would take it.
But, I mean, like, what's interesting is, like, when I posted the thing on social media, all these people are like, no, it's going to be Bienemy, Bienemy, Bienemy. And I'm like, I don't know who it's going to be. It ain't going to be Bienemy.
No, I wouldn't expect that to be
the case. No, I don't know where Eric Bienemy is going to coach next year, but I feel fairly confident that it won't be Kansas City.
Oh, great.
Speaking of the Chiefs here, Matthew, this will make you happy. Patrick Mahomes commented on the Cliff Kingsbury hire as the Commanders offensive coordinator and had some glowing praise. Take a listen to what Mahomes had to say about the hire.
Yeah, just a great person, man. Someone that truly loves the game of football, works his tail off every single day, and gets the best out of his guys, especially his quarterbacks. And so I'm excited for him to have another opportunity in the NFL. I thought he did a great job in Arizona, especially with the offense. And so I think he'll do a great job in Washington getting that offense going. I mean, he always believed in me from the beginning, even when I wasn't getting a lot of offers coming out of high school. And then when I got there, he evolved the offense to really fit my game. And I think that's what you have to do as a great offensive coordinator in this league, is you have to evolve the offense to fit the guys that you have. And I think he's done that everywhere he's been.
All right. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes. I will. I'll take that.
Maybe Cliff Kingsbury next Chiefs coach.
Yeah, well, or maybe Patrick Mahomes next Commanders quarterback. That's what I took away. That's what I heard. You know, you always hear what you want to hear. But what I heard from that clip was Patrick Mahomes saying, like, as soon as I can get out of Kansas City, I'm going to go to Washington to play for Cliff Kingsbury.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah,
great
of course.
Situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Andy Reid's going to retire, right? You know, and everything like that. And then Patrick's like, you know, I've done it here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now I need to go with my guy, with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
You know, like, sort of like LeBron. You know, LeBron wanted to go back to Cleveland to, you know, win a title for the Cavs after he got the title in Miami. So I could see that someone wants to win a title for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep, no, very similar. Very much like LeBron called his time in Miami like going to college. I would liken it to the same thing here. Patrick Mahomes' time in Kansas City is college for the big dance of the Washington Commanders.
Exactly. Yeah, like there it. You go. Very excited to welcome Patrick Mahomes to our nation's capital.
Can you imagine how unsufferable you would be if you had a quarterback as good as Patrick Mahomes?
No, but I'm going to spend the next, after hearing that quote, I might spend the next part of the show just thinking about that.
Yeah, put it
but
in the
yes,
atmosphere.
I would be unbelievable. I mean, you're talking about somebody who brought up Sam Howell ad nauseum.
Yes.
Imagine if we had Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. You're talking about my Collingwood Magpies references. The amount of time we devoted to the great Sam Howell this year, it's unbelievable. But yeah.
They would cancel. NBC would cancel the show, is what would happen.
Yeah, Rich Gannon very high on Sam Howell, though. It's good.
Rich Gannon was.
Right. He fueled the flame for you again.
Former
you were already out. You're like, we're drafting a quarterback. You know, I want to see Howell get a fresh start somewhere. Rich Gannon stops by the set. He has nothing but praise for Sam Howell. And you were like, just when I thought I was out.
Yeah.
They get me back in.
They pulled me back in.
Listen, I don't know if Sam Howell's going to stay in Washington or not. I like the kid. I'm rooting for that. I'm going to root for Sam Howell wherever he plays. Like, I think he's a gutty kid that, like, played well this year under very tough circumstances.
All right, and more coaching news. Ian Rappaport reports the Chargers are officially hiring Greg Roman as their offensive coordinator. Jesse Minter was also announced as the Chargers' new defensive coordinator, who spent two seasons as Michigan's DC under Jim Harbaugh. So, Matthew, Harbaugh's staff starting to take shape in the NFL.
Right, so Roman was the offensive coordinator for the 49ers when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach. And under Greg Roman in 2011 to 2014, San Francisco had the second highest rush rate in the NFL. They were one of only two teams to run the ball 50% of the time. Then, of course, he spent 2 years as the offensive coordinator of the Bills. And under Greg Roman, Buffalo had the highest rush rate in the NFL from 2015 to 2016. And then, of course, he went to Baltimore, where he was the offensive coordinator of the Ravens from 2019 to 2022. And during that time period, the Ravens had the most rush attempts in the NFL. Of course, Lamar Jackson accounted for a large part of it, but they were the only team to have a rush rate over 50%. You see it there on your screen. I think the point of all this is I think the Chargers are going to run next year.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers are going to run next year. And so Austin Ekeler, we don't know what his future is going to be. You know,
we'll ask him this week.
Yeah. Friend of the show, friend to fantasy life investor Austin Ekeler will be joining the show later this week. So excited to get his thoughts on that. But the other thing I would say here is that all of a sudden, when we talked at the beginning of the week of all the free agent running backs, like Tony Pollard lands there, Derrick Henry, like some of these guys like suddenly become really interesting. Whoever the starting running back is for the Chargers next year is going to be fantasy friendly. And I have one other thought here for you guys. Justin Herbert. I know you're like, oh, great, Justin Herbert, he's going to a coach that's just going to run the hell out of the ball. But think about all the quarterbacks under Greg Roman. Like, started with Alex Smith, moved to Colin Kaepernick. Then Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. Then, obviously, Lamar Jackson. All of them very mobile. All of them designed runs. Justin Herbert's not one of those guys, but he is pretty mobile. Like, he is somebody that I think you could utilize a lot more in the run game
Yes.
with the right coordinator. And I think that's, you know, that's Greg Roman.
I think at the goal line is what I would think. I would want to see Herbert, you know, maybe punch in 6 to 8 rushing touchdowns with some creative play calls. And obviously you hinted at this, Matthew, and I'll throw it to you, Jay. I think whoever the Chargers running back is one of the most interesting fantasy questions we have going into this offseason because of everything you said about Roman.
Yeah, and I think, look, this year the Chargers, by EPA, they had the worst rushing offense in the NFL, and they were 30th in rushing success rate as well. So it was just the disaster. Herbert's never really had an amazing running game, I think, to take pressure off of him. But, I mean, this is a guy from a fantasy perspective. Well, 2 years ago he finished as QB2 in fantasy. Yeah. Like, he is a guy who has the upside where there aren't that many guys with this upside, but he could absolutely be the number one quarterback in fantasy next year.
If you get some design runs, again, obviously a very different player, but could you see him have a fantasy season like Russell Wilson at his peak? Which is, I mean, like, Russell Wilson, again, use his mobility as well. Like, he's not Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or whatever, but, you know, you got points from his legs, and he was so highly efficient that it didn't matter that they were more run-heavy, you know, under Pete Carroll when he was there. Like, I don't know that Justin Herbert is somebody that, again, if that team's working right and they play great defense, which you would expect that to be under Harbaugh, like, he doesn't need to throw the ball 45, 50 right. times a game to have a productive fantasy, you know, game.
What he'll do is he'll throw the ball down the field off of play action because you right. actually finally have a threat of the run. So the efficiency of the throwing is what matters and is more important, where I totally see what you're saying.
And that's what happened with Russell Wilson in Seattle.
He's a great deep ball thrower, a very effective one, where people are going to be like, oh, Greg Roman offense, Jim Harbaugh head coach, Herbert, you know, not a top 5 to 6 fantasy quarterback. And it could go the complete other way because of that.
Yep. What do you think of the Chargers' offensive line?
I think, obviously, you have a great piece in Rashawn Slater, and then you have a lot of question marks, especially along the interior. And it makes you – everybody's wondering what they do with the 5th overall pick because a lot of people believe they'll get a pass catcher, whether it's Brock Bowers or one of the top wide receivers. But you can make the argument that they could take a top tackle and have 2 bookends at tackle that they run out there for the next 8 years and feel good about that. It's going to – what the new staff thinks of Quentin Johnson and how they handle the cap with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen will really dictate what they do at number 5 and what the offense looks like.
Yep.
It's not a great running back draft class this year, but could the Chargers find their solution at running back in the draft, you think?
I mean, think of...
Could Harbaugh go back to...
Think of who Harbaugh knows, Blake Corum.
Right, that's what I was going to ask.
100%.
Yeah.
It makes sense, and he's probably a late second-round, third-round pick. And then he'd get the ball 22 times a game because it's Jim Harbaugh with his guy.
Yeah.
So we're all painting the picture together here of the Chargers offense that could be really, really exciting. All right, want another sweat during Super Bowl week? Jay and Drew Dinzik have you covered with a special edition of Bet the Edge tomorrow night. Join the guys on our NFL on NBC YouTube channel at 9 p.m. Eastern for an NFL Awards watch-along and find out how they feel about the winners for Coach of the Year, Comeback Player, and much more. Stick with us here. We're going to break, but we got a big guest on deck. Rookie sensation, pass-catching phenom, and, of course, Peacocky winner Puka Nacua joins us next.
Wentz ready, has it, play fakes, throws the dart, caught by Nacua, right side 50, Puka Nacua breaks Bill Grohman's record by NFL rookies for most receiving yards in a debut season. The 20th receiver drafted in this class now stands alone in NFL history.
The Peacocky for Rookie of the Year goes to Puka Nacua. Rightfully so.
See, Puka Nacua had more receiving yards than A.J. Brown and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, it's insane what he did.
That's right. The legendary Puka Nacua joins the show, as you see. Pretty good company with the NFL rookie records for receptions this year were 105. For, of course, yards, 1,486, a record that was almost 60 years old.
Right. You just saw the record-breaking reception right there.
Yeah.
And then probably even more important to you, Puka, of course, you winning the prestigious Peacocky Award on our show for Rookie of the Year as well. So, yes, congratulations on both, on a record-setting year in many ways.
Yeah. Where does that rank for you on your accomplishments? The trophy's in the mail. We know we didn't send it to you, but you are our Rookie of the Year.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I was like, are you guys saying I won something? I haven't received anything yet.
Lost in a little bit with FedEx.
It's got to be up there. I got a couple of those Pepsi, those rookie showcase belts. I got them all lined up on my wall, so it'll go right next to them.
The Peacocky right next to them as well. Puka, we were just saying before the show, so obviously great season with the Rams. You guys had an unbelievable year, but fantasy football-wise, you were like you were our fantasy rookie of the year. You had an unbelievable year statistically, obviously, carried a lot of fantasy football teams to championships as well. How often does that come up in your life?
Pretty often. I think it was maybe after the Colts week. I was walking down Whole Foods and I could see somebody trying to, like, at the end of the aisle, like, hey, we know who that is. And they're like, we picked you up in fantasy earlier, right, after week two, the wire pick up. Like, we got you. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but let's go.
That's awesome. Now, we were talking just before we got on air about how, you know, 99% of the comments are positive about fantasy, as they would be, but you got a negative comment the other day.
Yeah, I was shopping over here at Caesars, and this guy comes, he's like, man, you killed me. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, the other dude had you in the playoffs and you scored 35 points in the game and I lost. And I'm like, I don't know how that's bad for me, but I'm sorry that you lost. I was like,
you're sorry for being so good at my job.
Right, yeah, you're both the hero and the villain right now. It's exactly. A weird balance. All right, so we have to ask you obviously won Rookie of the Year from us. Do you feel robbed that your teammate Kyren Williams won Best Waiver Wire Pickup and Breakout Player of the Year? You had to share some hardware with your teammate and Kyren Williams.
Oh, no, Kyren's the man, and that's why it's so funny, because they're like, yeah, like, either we were, like, people was like, the positive story is like, we either picked you or we went and got your running back, so it's like, we didn't know which one. How do you like it? And I'm like, Kyren's gonna ball too, so right. I'm like, you can't be in the wrong place with that guy.
So, hey, Puka, I want to ask you this, though. Like, let's turn to football to real football for a second, one thing. Like, in the preseason, we talked about you in the preseason, and what I said was, it's like, he's having a great camp, and I know they really like him. Pick up Puka Nacua, like, put him on your bench, we'll see what happens, you know, after Cooper Kupp, Tutu Atwell, Van Jefferson, there's going to be targets available for Matthew Stafford, and so I just know they really like Puka Nacua. But no one saw you having a record-setting year, that, you know, having the most receptions and receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. And my question is like, you know, thinking about your college days at BYU, obviously you were productive, but again, I think if people knew you were going to set the rookie record for receptions and receiving yards, you'd have gone a lot higher in the NFL draft. I was just curious, what happened from BYU to LA? Was it Stafford? Was it McVay? What, like, talk to me about, you know, what key got turned there.
Yeah. I think you kind of hit on both of it. With Stafford and Coach McVay, and then especially Coop, like, that seemed like a three-headed monster that was ready for me to be a part of it, and they allowed me to come in and be myself and kind of thrive in that environment, and they helped exceed my learning curve excel my learning curve so much faster than I thought it was going to be, and Coop going down and being able to communicate with me and everything that's going on, and then Matthews, one of the best, from the first time I saw him throw routes on air, like, there wasn't a ball that hit the floor, there wasn't a ball that wasn't spinning as perfect as it could. So as a receiver, I'm like, that's something I don't want to drop the ball if he's throwing it that tight every time. I'm like, I'll be mad at myself. I'm like, I'll kick me off the team.
But so, did they unlock something in you? Like, did they do different routes or something like that where you weren't used in college? Like, I'm just curious, like, where they were able to, like, you know, really max, you know, bring you to the next level.
Yeah, I definitely think that they realized that I definitely didn't have no fear. That's something that I play the game with no fear, and running across the middle, especially some of those guys. It's nice that Fred Warner is a BYU guy, so it made it when we were going into week two. I was like, Fred. Everybody's like, Fred is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. But I was also like, I know Fred. I know little Fred. I remember when he was wearing number 34 before he was 54. I was like, I remember this guy. So it made some of those things I try to mentally easier to go through.
What is the whirlwind been like? Because literally this time last year, I was on the field at the Senior Bowl watching you, where you had a great week and you had a good career for BYU. But now, flash forward just 1 year, you're an NFL superstar. I mean, projected day three draft pick, a year later, NFL superstar, catching passes from one of the best quarterbacks and obviously a great head coach. What has this entire year just been like for you?
It has been so surreal, but a dream come true. Everything has been such a blessing to be around the people that I have been, my family and my girlfriend and all the people I've had supporting me along this journey before we ever kind of came into stardom and stuff like that. So it's been cool to have my family and my support around me, but it's been so fun to interact with some of these guys that, I mean, I used to be a Packers fan, so like Jair Alexander, like, I love watching DB, so I think my first catch against the Packers against him, but I'm also like in, like, still like this nostalgic moment. I'm like, I'm at Lambeau Field, like, Jair Alexander's guarding me. I'm like, this is not real, like, I'm in a video game. But
that's
it was so fun.
That's absolutely amazing.
I just want to ask you quickly, Pooh, because you have such a unique kind of style in the way that you play. It's not like other players, the way that, you know, you move guys who are hanging on to you. I'm Australian. You kind of play like an Australian football player at times, or a rugby player. Yeah. Did you play other sports growing up?
I played football and basketball. I did track in high school, but no, football has been my number one love since I was a little kid. I have five older brothers, or four. I have five brothers, four older brothers, and they all took their turn being beating up on me before I ever got good at football.
I think that's why you're fearless then. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a ton of sense. Listen, Puka, we had a lot of fun with you winning the Peacocky, and you've won a lot of fantasy championships for people. But real talk, you're also the Pepsi Zero Sugar Rookie of the Year. What does that award mean to you? You're here thanks to our friends at Pepsi.
Yeah, it's been a huge battle. Like I said, I got all those rookie belts up on my wall, and so it's been so fun to be able to get voted from the fans who are all locked in, and then also the love and support I've got from the Pepsi people, and then being able to go support some of the business that they have in LA. It's been fun, and I love being able to compete against CJ. I saw him at Pro Bowl and stuff, and I'm like, CJ loves to play basketball, so I was like, hey, we're going to play for this belt, whoever wins it no matter what, or whatever the award is.
You and Cooper Kupp obviously have a great relationship, but just what has that been like, and what, you know, when you think of next season, what you could build on, because he was, you know, hurt a little bit this year, and that led to you getting to shine, and then we saw you shine together, but just what has it been like learning from him and playing alongside him and thriving alongside him?
He's been like the brother I didn't know I had. He's been so fun. We get to joke around. I love playing pig with him. I get him to move around. I know he's been in the league for a little while, so I try to make sure I don't overexhaust all the energy he's got. But I love just we play a little word hunt game. So I feel like I try to sometimes I feel like I'm the little annoying little brother to him. But then also when we get to sit and talk routes and we're talking about leverage and how to double up somebody and how to move and how to understand where the defense goes, it's music to my ears because he has a plethora of knowledge and he's willing to give it all. So it makes learning the game of wide receiver super fun for him.
Yeah. So Mike's caught you guys talking about anime earlier in the season. Any progress getting Cooper Kupp on board with that? And also, can you compare maybe any of your teammates to anime characters?
I don't know. I think if Coop were to be an anime character, he would be like One Punch Man. Like he's gonna go up, and he's gonna have his little bicycle, he's gonna ride around, but then he's also gonna do exactly what you need him to do when it's time. But no progress in Coop watching anime. He was very, very strict on his answers still.
All right, last question for you. We gotta ask, what is your favorite Pepsi flavor?
I do love Wild Cherry. My girlfriend likes the Diet Pepsi, but I'm not on the diet world, so I like the caffeine and all the sugar I can get.
I'm a Pepsi Zero Sugar guy. I'm starting to come around on Pepsi Zero. I used to be Diet Pepsi, and now Pepsi Zero Sugar. I'm digging that as well. But yeah, the Wild Cherry is blowing up. Listen, Puka, it's been such a thrill to have you on the show and to watch your progression last year as well. Like, again, NFL superstar, fantasy football superstar. It's great to see what you guys are building in LA, you, Matthew, and Cooper. So continued success next year. We can't wait to see what you guys are going to build on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Puka. All right, the guests keep rolling in. Jalen Hyatt and Kendrick Bourne join the happy hour set right after this break.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
We'll be live every day this week from Radio Row, but if you miss a minute of it, don't sweat it. Every episode this week of Happy Hour will air during the Super Bowl Sunday marathon on Peacock. Lock in on the NBC Sports virtual channel from noon to 5 p.m. Eastern to catch up with us before the big game. All right, and stick around as Jalen Hyatt joins the Happy Hour desk, and then following that, Lawrence Jackson will jump on as we talk to Kendrick Bourne as well.
All right, welcome into the Fantasy Football Happy Hour set. Connor Rogers, Matthew Berry, and Jalen Hyatt, as you see it right there. Yards per catch last year.
Pretty good. Pretty good start to the career.
Pretty good start.
I didn't even know that.
There you go. Jalen Hyatt learning something as well since 2000 as well. So pretty good list of names to be on there, Jalen. So let's start here for a second. Obviously not the season you guys hoped in New York, right? So I'm just curious. But they say that, you know, adversity builds character. So I'm just curious, what's the biggest lesson you took away from your rookie year?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, not the year that we wanted, you know, disappointing year. But I think the biggest thing that I learned just playing, you know, last year is that, you know, it doesn't really matter about, you know, what's happening, if it's not going right, or, you know, if everything is going wrong. I really believe that we have a good team, man. Like, we have a solid team. And for us, you know, we just got to be complete. And that's the biggest thing we have to do, you know, year two is, you know, become a complete team. And, you know, we have great leaders in that room, great vets in that room. And, you know, it starts with that. And, you know, for myself personally, I know I can get better. And, you know, it's going to start time I get back, you know, March 1st. So, you know, biggest thing I learned is just, you know, we just got to keep going. And, you know, even though you have, you know, your years where, you know, you have your best years, and then you're going to have some years where, you know, it's probably not, everything's not working out. It just makes you a complete, a better player, you know, at the end of the day. So that's what I'm trying to focus on that year two.
And something for you in college is the dynamic connection you and Hendon Hooker had, right, where you guys were just dominating in the SEC. This year at the NFL, of course, a big adjustment. But you play with three different quarterbacks. Yeah. What was that adjustment like, especially while you're a rookie trying to get your feet under you?
Yeah, you know, it's hard because, you know, obviously, you know, when you play with three different quarterbacks, you know, every quarterback kind of has their little thing that they like, you
right.
know, specific plays or, you know, whatever it is. You know, we started with DJ, then, you know, he gets hurt, and, you know, we throw Tyrod out there, then he gets hurt, you know, and then DJ comes back healthy again, and he gets hurt again, and then we throw Tommy out there.
It's Tommy
so,
time, yeah.
You know, and it's you know, as a receiver, you know, it's hard because, you know, all of them like their own things. You know, they're all different quarterbacks at the end of the day. You know, they're not the same quarterback. So, you know, the game plan changes up a little bit. You know, how we call plays changes. So, you know, it was a difficult year, but, you know, I'm glad it happened at the end of the day. You know, I wouldn't, if I had to go back and, you know, I hope everything that happened, you know, I'm cool with it because it's going to make me a stronger player personally. It's going to make our team, you know, hungrier, you know, next year. So I think it's a good thing for us.
Let's talk about after the year. And again, it is tough with the three different quarterbacks, but has Coach Daboll or your position coaches, have any of them talked to you in terms of how they see your role expanding this year, your route tree expanding? Have they talked to you, expectations for you into year two?
Yeah. I think I had to talk to Coach Daves and Coach Calf, you know, for our exit meetings before we, you know, for everybody left.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just talking to them, you know, this year they kind of had me more on the outside,
yeah.
You know, kind of playing receiver. And, you know, personally, you know, I wasn't used to that. You know, at Tennessee, I played slot.
Yeah.
You know, I played slot for 3 years, you know, when I was there. And last time I played outside was in high school. So, you know, when I got here, it was a little adjustment for me. But, you know, throughout the season, they started, you know, kind of putting me in different spots, you know, playing mostly outside. But, you know, some plays, you know, getting the slot, you know, having motion sometimes, you know, in the slot and, you know, having run some plays there as well. So, you know, for me, they definitely, you know, definitely going to have, you know, as far as opportunity, as far as reps, like expanding for sure. And just seeing myself in the slot outside, you know, just moving around, you know, different areas. That's the best thing. So I can't wait for it.
All right. So obviously we're in Vegas, hangover style trip. Who is a teammate that is the must invite, and who is somebody that's getting left at home? Maybe they're just not as fun.
I got to go. Who's coming for sure? Saquon Barkley.
Okay. I feel like everybody would say that. Yeah. Giants.
Yes, Saquon Barkley for sure. Who's
well,
staying?
Fun, by the way. And also, you're getting into every club. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
There's no waiting in line. Yeah, exactly. You're getting in everywhere.
Yeah. I got to go Saquon Barkley for sure. Who's coming with me? Who's not coming with me? Man.
You can say Brian Daboll. Maybe it's good to leave Coach at home, not see everything going on in
probably,
Vegas.
Yeah, nobody wants your head coach to come. But I love my head coach. I love Coach Daboll. Yeah. He's a good dude. You know, he's a good dude. You know, we all have respect for him. So if he wanted to come, he can come.
Yeah. I'm not sure I see Daniel Jones popping bottles at 3 a.m. at Omni or whatever, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
He probably won't see that either.
Yeah. He's out in Hoboken more often. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Hey, so Jalen, listen. So I have an 18-year-old son. He is a freshman at Alabama.
Okay.
And as somebody who had 207 yards and 5 touchdowns for the Vols against Alabama, what's your, you know, obviously you're an SEC legend. I'm just curious, what do you make of Alabama? What do you make of that football program now without Saban?
Man, it's completely different, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. I was kind of surprised.
Do you think he retired because he couldn't slow you down?
Man, I was surprised. I really thought I really thought Coach Saban had at least five more years. You know, I thought it was kind of surprising when I seen, you know, when he was leaving. But, yeah, it's a different team, different coaching staff over there. You know, hopefully now, you know, knowing that Saban's gone, hopefully Tennessee wins more games, you know, against them. So hopefully that becomes more of a Tennessee thing since Saban's gone. So, but, yeah, different team. You know, when I was there and Saban was there, man, it was the best thing. You know, big time games, especially when we played at Bama. So I missed it, but I love the league, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a ridiculous game. I don't think you'll ever have to buy a meal in Knoxville again.
Right.
Absolutely, no question about that. Well, certainly the SEC is a lot more wide open with Saban gone. So, listen, Jalen, you know, being born with the last name Hyatt, and NIL deals making, you know, being able to happen, no-brainer, Jalen Hyatt working with Hyatt Hotels, made too much sense not to happen.
The world of Hyatt.
The world of Hyatt as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're back again. Talk to me about your partnership with Hyatt.
Yeah, you know, it was a partnership that, you know, started as the NIL my junior year in college, and, you know, now it's more of a partnership, you know, going on to the league. And really, you know, even though it has the same, you know, we have the same last names, but it really wasn't because of that. I think it really is because, you know, what we value. And, you know, that's families, that's relationships. And, you know, I think Hyatt, you know, just the word of Hyatt, you know, what they're doing with their partnerships and memberships and, you know, upgrades you can get when you, you know, decide to join their program and, you know, become a awards member. You know, it's a lot of things that you can do with the world of Hyatt. And not only that, it's Hyatt's everywhere across the country. That's the best thing about it, you know, when you want to go on vacation. And not only that, I'm going to be going on vacation, you know, going to Mexico, you know, with my family. We've never been out the country before. So,
nice.
And Hyatt's providing. So it'll be fun to go out there and, you know, just experience it, you know, with my family and, you know, experience a resort, you know, out in Mexico. And but as far as partnership, though, it's just values, you know, relationships and families. I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, we both have and, you know, have in common. And the reason why, you know, we really wanted to, you know, have that partnership.
New York Giants wide receiver Jalen Hyatt, we appreciate you stopping by, man. We can't wait to see what you do in year two.
Thank you.
Yeah, continued success to you, my friend.
Sir. Thank you.
7-year NFL veteran, fantasy football waiver darling, Kendrick Bourne joining us now as well. Had a nice season when you weren't hurt last year. Mm-hmm. Tough year as well. But, you know, when you were out there, you were producing plays, yes, which is not something we could say about a ton of the Patriots. Tough year in New England for you guys.
Yeah.
Question for you, though. They say that adversity builds character, Kendrick. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, what's the biggest lesson you took away from last season?
Yeah, I like the adversity part, man. Yeah. I always try to take things that I've went through or whatever in life and football and see how I can get better from it and turn around. So, just the year in itself was rough. Obviously, being hurt is rough. So, rehabbing, getting right. But just going out there working hard, man, and making a play. So, having my body be prepared so that I can make plays. Like you said, I was able to make plays with not such a good year or things going well. So, just doing my part, man, of rehabbing, doing the right things on the field. Even before I was hurt, just doing prehab, doing stuff that'll make my body go, man. So, in the weight room, all the little things, man, just detailed so that I can play good games. And I was doing good. So, and we'll see what the future holds.
Now, you're still doing that rehab out here in Vegas, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still working, man. Obviously, my knee. And so I've been doing rehab as I'm doing Radio Row and doing all this media stuff, still working to get back, man, to where I was at before I got hurt, because I feel like I was at my best.
Yeah, it was when you were out there, it was clear that you and Mac and even Bailey, you guys had a connection. Mm-hmm. They were constantly looking for you, and the passing offense ran through you.
Yes.
Curious, though, you mentioned detail in your first answer. Mm-hmm. That's one of the words I always think about with Coach Belichick.
Yes.
What was it like playing for him the last couple of years? And are you surprised he doesn't have a job at the moment?
I am. I love that guy to death, man. He changed my life, changed my perspective about football, taught me things that I didn't really know.
Like what? Give me an example.
I had a certain drill he ran. It was like called a sideline skinny drill where we would work on attacking a defender by the sideline. So he'd make me attack one defender. He put two defenders out there, and then as a runner, we'll catch the ball. And the sideline's right here, and there'll be two defenders, maybe one sometimes, and then we'll attack him straight at him and then make the cut. So it'll either go straight at him, and then whatever leverage he holds, I go away from.
Right.
And I've never done anything like that. So he taught me how to run with the football better, something I've never learned. So I never did it in college. I never did it in San Francisco. And once I got to Bill, I was like, I hate this drill, man. But as I kept doing it and buying into the detail of it and how he was looking at it, I always remember the Tennessee clip. I don't know if you guys seen it. I ran, I caught a shallow and I threw a stiff arm for a touchdown. But it was so funny when I caught the ball, the drill like showed up in my vision. Like I could see the drill I ended up like making a big play to win the game. So that was something that I've always remembered that is in stamps. So he's made me improve big time in my game.
Definitely. Shout out to Coach Belichick. Yes, sir. And now, you know, as the team transitions now, because as you know, you switch teams, this is a business. So now transitioning to Gerard Mayo, who's been with the organization since he's been a young dude, drafted by the team, became an all-pro with the team, coach, worked his way up. So now that it shifts to him, what type of vibe and energy is he going to bring to this Patriots team? And how does he get them to flip the page to get back to them old Patriots days?
I love Gerard, man. So, obviously, like you said, I was in the building with him for my 3 years. He's been there a long time, so he knows the culture. I think he's going to bring a balance of that swag and that vibe, just said. So, those specific words, I think it's a young culture, man, in this league and day and age. Everything's different. So, I think he'll just meet the locker room how it needs to be met. Nothing against Bill, but it was just a different era.
Things changed.
So, like I said, I love Bill, man, but things it obviously needed to go in a different direction. I think they made the right choice with Mayo. Young, I said a point about him. One day he'll walk in the locker room with a bat over his shoulder. One day he'll walk in with a golf club. One day he'll walk in with a hockey stick. So it was just like he was just different. It was something to him that I really admired. And I've had a good relationship with him for the last 3 years, going against him on offense. So I'm proud of that guy, man. I'm excited to see what happens.
That's what's up.
Now, before you came to New England, you were a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, you played for Kyle Shanahan. You were in the Super Bowl the last time the Niners played the Chiefs. Talk to me about what you see from your former teammates, your former coach, and, you know, how you're looking at this game on Sunday.
It's funny. You know, I was in that era of, you know, kind of that rebuild when Kyle first got there. I was a rookie with him, so shout out to him, appreciate him for giving me an opportunity. And you know, we grew as a team. I just remember those years. And then year three, I think we went 2019, we made it to that point of that rebuild kind of, and to get to the Super Bowl was great. And so now, you know, they're in that dynasty mode, and I love to see it. You know, I feel like I was a part of helping build that, in a sense, a culture, you know, the swag, the coming out, listening to music with the bump box, all those things I was a part of, and it was phenomenal. It helped us play better. And so I love the way they play, the way they go about things. And for me now, I'm thinking about the Patriots of like, I was in the rebuild era, and to see the Niners be who they are now, I don't want to miss the Patriots because I'm missing the Niners phase. So it's awesome to see those guys, man. They have a great team, man. They have so many weapons. And I think they're going to pull it off, so we'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's take it back real quick, because a lot of people forget about this. Like, we had great college receiver duos like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, right? Then DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. But a lot of people sleep on you and Cooper Kupp. We were doing it for 3 straight years. Wow. Right. What was it like teaming up with him, Eastern Washington, and just running up the numbers?
That's a great question, man. So his numbers are phenomenal. I love Coop to death, man. He's taught me a lot. We have a great relationship. Just as a young guy coming to college, you know, he took me under his wing. It's kind of like what Puka says about him now. I felt the same. When he said that, I resonated with it because he caught me at a young age. He was only 1 year older than me, but just the way he worked, the detail, the ambition to do it all. He's a man of God, and he just had so much upside to him. You know, he created himself, in a sense. He wasn't born athletically gifted. He created those traits that he has now. Yeah. So his numbers were phenomenal.
They were crazy.
So he's the reason we're the top duo FCS.
Yeah,
I had like 3,500, but he had like 6,800. Now we like lead. So it's crazy that he put me a part of history, which I'm always thankful for.
No doubt, right? It's crazy. And that is, I don't think people realize that and appreciate that.
They got to put y'all up there with them FBS duos.
Right. They do.
Just because the numbers is wild. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
numbers
sir,
are numbers.
That.
Numbers don't lie.
They don't.
Hey, Kendrick, so you're rehabbing now. You're a free agent. Mm-hmm. And so as you head into free agency, obviously you don't know. Listen, we all want to get paid, so that's important.
Sure.
But in addition to the money, what's most important for you? Is it quarterback? Is it coach? Is it scheme fit? Like, as you approach free agency and you're talking to teams, what's important for you in terms of where you land, whether it's back in New England or somewhere else?
Yeah, the money is good, of course. Like Jalen Hurts said, you know, championships are better. So I want to win. I want the whole bundle of it. I want to win. Yeah. I want to get paid. I want to help my team grow. I want to help my teammates be better. Man, you know, just being a leader. You know what I mean? I want to go somewhere where I can help change the culture and have guys, know that this is trying to be built into something big. You know, every person that comes through here becomes better. So wherever it may be, man, I just want to be a part of something great. And we'll see what happens, man. I really don't know, but everywhere I've been, it's been great for me, just being the person I am. So just trying to keep the same charisma and energy that I bring, I think it works out for me well. So just going to a place where I can win and have that full bundle in a sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually happen like that, but you know, you go through losing, you use certain things.
That's the dream, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Kendrick, since we out here in Las Vegas, right? You mentioned how you still get into your rehab, but it is Las Vegas, right? So if you out on the town, you out in these streets like that, who's a teammate you bringing with you, and who's one that you just got to leave behind?
Yeah. So a teammate I'm taking with me, I'm going to say Juju Smith.
Yeah.
Juju Smith, he might get stopped a lot to get talked to, there might be some good media. He's social media presence in a sense. So I would take that guy, and who I leave behind.
You're going to make them mad, too.
I'm going to make them mad because they're going to see it. Who I would leave behind? I'll probably say Tyquan Thornton, my young guy. He's young, so I'm going to keep him behind.
Like, let him just worry about the game first. Yeah, like, exactly. Get your game right
my young
first,
guy,
right?
Yeah, so being that vet, like, nah, bro, stay back, bro. You got to get your money right, get your finances right, save money, all that. Yeah. Don't do it too early.
Yeah. You got to appreciate that.
Exactly. So it's a positive thing in it.
Yeah. Kendrick, is there anything we need to promote? Anything you're out here?
Yes, sir. I got a brand.
Yeah.
Born Bless.
Okay.
Yeah. BornDrip.com. You know, go get some clothes. I'm trying to promote my brand. I got there the shorts go. On. Y'all probably can't see it, but
they're fresh,
just building
man.
A brand. You know what I mean? I'm an entrepreneur in a sense, not just a football player, doing real estate, doing different things off the field. And that's been helping my rehab too, you know, doing things right financially off the field. So my mental is right doing this rehab, not so stressed about getting the money from a team or whatever it may be, just doing the right things, man, to help my life. So
setting yourself up for long-term success, not worried about just the future here, but we are concerned about the future. Best of luck with the rehab, best of luck with free agency, best of luck of navigating Las Vegas during Super Bowl week, Kendrick. We love you in fantasy football, man, so continued success to you, my friend.
Yes, sir, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, man.
We have a super packed day tomorrow, and we start off strong with Falcons legend Matt Ryan. And speaking of legends, we have one of the greats, Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, swings by the set. All that and more tomorrow on the Happy Hour. We are taking one last break. When we're back, Lawrence sticks around to help us pick out the best DFS plays for the big game. Who's eating good? Coming right up.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
A reminder on our live schedule all this week from Super Bowl 58. Stay locked in for PFT directly after us, followed by Brother from Another at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're back at it again tomorrow after Dan Patrick. Also, a reminder, Bet the Edge, Roto World Football Show, and Chris Sims Unbuttoned will also be taping in Vegas all week long, so be sure to check them out as well. Who's eating good? Served by Applebee's, fellas. Let's take a look at the top Super Bowl DFS plays on the board. And Matthew, no surprise to see Christian McCaffrey with the Godfather price of $12,000. But is it worth paying up for, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, personally, he's Christian McCaffrey. It depends on where else you want to go here. Like, I do think he's worth it, right? He's had two of the top five fantasy performances in the playoffs from a non-quarterback, right? He's averaging over 30 fantasy points per game in the playoffs this year. Every playoff game he's played this year, 125 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns in each playoff game. As we talked about earlier in the week, Brock Purdy, when he's blitzed, loves to check down, and so we expect him to bring a lot of pressure, try to, and so I do think McCaffrey will be used quite a bit. It's a steep price, but I don't mind paying up for, if I'm going to pay up for anyone, pay up for McCaffrey.
Yeah, Jay, you think the volume will be huge for this one? I mean, it's Christian McCaffrey. Why hold back now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his rushing prop is set at 91.5.
Right.
That's quite high, and I think justified, and obviously he's going to get the goal line work. The other thing, too, is that in not just the Super Bowl, in the playoffs in general, like your best players, they just stay on the field for longer. I don't think McCaffrey's coming off the field in this right. game unless he gets injured. Now, that's always the concern with McCaffrey. I mean, he had the weird thing with his neck in the game against Detroit. Been dealing with the calf thing, but with the time off that he's had, you'd expect he'd be full go against a Chiefs run defense that is pretty suspect, and I would certainly expect that the 49ers are going to give McCaffrey more than six running back carries that the Ravens gave their guys.
Lawrence, right after McCaffrey is Mahomes, no surprise there, $10,600. I mean, Purdy still $10,000. How do you kind of distinguish the two of who you pick?
It's interesting because it's not like Mahomes is putting up vintage Mahomes numbers in each playoffs, but Jared Goff and Jordan Love was able to have success against this 49ers defense in the first half. A guy like Mahomes could take that through. So when you got a running back like Christian McCaffrey priced higher, you kind of feel like Patrick Mahomes is starting to be a value now. He looked great against Baltimore in the first half. I feel like the Baltimore Ravens defense is better than the Niners defense. So you're going to and this is the Super Bowl. This is Patrick Mahomes' time, so you got to love it.
I think the other thing with Mahomes is that so in the playoffs, it statistically bears out. He scrambles a lot more in the playoffs relative to the regular season, so that's just additional rushing yardage that you're banking that you wouldn't otherwise be able to count on.
That's a good point.
I don't mind stacking Mahomes and Kelce, you know, either as well. Obviously, if you're going to do that, you're not going to be able to afford Christian McCaffrey unless you want, like, you know.
Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, Elijah, exactly.
You
exactly.
start them both. Check, right. CMC and Elijah Mitchell.
Right.
Start them both.
There you go. I don't mind stacking those guys. I mean, Kelce's really interesting, right? He's had three career games against the Niners with Mahomes as his quarterback. He's averaging at least six receptions. He's had at least six receptions in all of them, at least 15 fantasy points in those three games against the 49ers as well. And now back-to-back games with 24 or more fantasy points, which is, you know, it feels like for a little while they were like, ah, is he done? But now it's playoff time. It's Kelce time. He's really turned it on.
Yeah, and guys, I think what you're trying to figure out in this, Lawrence, is, you know, on the other side of it is George Kittle, which is a cheaper option. But at the end of the day, it feels like there's a lot more variance with Kittle compared to what we see from Kelce in the playoffs.
It is variance with Kittle now, but if you look at the totality of the season, Kittle was an all-pro, went over 1,000 yards this season, and Brock Purdy's going to need him this game, probably next after Christian McCaffrey. So you're definitely going to get the value there. But obviously Kelce has, again, he's went vintage himself as well.
The other thing that you have to think about, like, is it sort of, you know, are you doing a head-to-head contest or, like, are you entering, like, you know, a GPP where there's going
right.
to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of entries. And so if you're doing something like that, you want variance. Like, yeah, like, fine, Juwan Jennings is my captain. Like, you know, I mean, like, seriously, like,
right.
you're going to have to get weird, yeah. right, because so many people are going to go with the obvious big names.
Yep. Speaking of kind of getting weird and some variance, yesterday I was talking to Rufus Peabody, who's a professional
sure.
bettor. He's probably going to have more money on Super Bowl props than anyone on planet Earth. And he was telling me that he makes Christian McCaffrey about a 9% chance to get injured in this game. And so if you want some variance, Elijah Mitchell, 9% chance Elijah Mitchell becomes the bell cow running back for the Niners against the poor Chiefs defense. So I think there's worse things you can do there.
Rufus is really, really smart. I will say this. I worked with him at ESPN for a little while. I've known him for a long time. Rufus is as smart as they come.
He's
so,
very
yeah.
clever.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And for Super Bowl 58, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours.
Wow. The four man. Yeah.
Yes.
That is some powerful.
Like a little barbershop.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there you go. All right. How about some pickup lines? Speaking of DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yes. That's right. Who wants to bring me home in Vegas?
That's right. I'm even sitting this one out. All right, Lawrence, kick it off here.
Hey, Vegas is filled with bad decisions.
Like
let's go.
Said, man, we in Vegas, man. We got to bet big. And the guy we didn't just talk about was Isaiah Pacheco. He scored in every game this playoffs, right? And the 49ers defense has given up three rushing touchdowns in each of the past two games. So I'm going Isaiah Pacheco, two touchdowns.
Oh.
Two touchdowns at plus 475. Again, the Niners have given up three of those in their last two playoff games. Pacheco, he get two of them.
All right.
Okay. Well, last pickup lines for the year, I believe. So I'm going to dance with the one who brought me. Been singing Brock Purdy's praises all season long, perhaps to my own detriment. But my pickup line is Brock Purdy over 12 and a half rushing yards. So he went 48 yards week before that. 14, but he's had 6 and 5 carries in the playoffs. And I think that when you look at his season stats, like, it's not very impressive for his scrambling. He just hasn't needed to throw because they've been destroying teams. In the 3-game losing streak the Niners had early in the season, 6, 5, and 3 carries from Purdy. And also another thing that, like, if you think Purdy's going to be nervous in this game, which I think is probably a reasonable expectation, some of his scrambles against the Lions in particular, like, he was looking at open guys and taking off. Like, I think that was nerves. I think that he will take off against Spags' blitzes. And it's just, I think it's a useful element of his game that hasn't really been emphasized that much. So give me Brock Purdy over 12 and a half rushing yards.
Both really good bets. I will say this. I think Lawrence, if you hadn't gotten greedy, and if you just said Pacheco anytime touchdown.
It's negative, though. You know I don't do negative. Minus.
You are plus money Lawrence Jackson as well. I get it. I like the bet. I actually like the bet. I'm going to place the bet. But I'm going home with Jay. You know, we had magic in Buffalo. We're going to have magic in Vegas.
Yes.
You've successfully picked me up. I agree with that. I do think they will try to blitz. I think Spagnuolo is going to really try to blitz Purdy and try to bring him off his game. And there'll be some scrambles there. So 12 and a half is a little higher, but right to your point, like, I mean, we saw it last week. Give me Brock Purdy over 12 and a half. That's the but I'm going to bet both those bets. I do like both of them. Pickup lines has been insanely successful all year long.
We got to get a percentage.
We really need to tally
these.
That up.
Yeah,
we need to tally this up. This would be good marketing material for the show.
We'd hit some big ones too.
We'd be hitting at 75%.
It's been unreal. And Lawrence, especially with a lot of your plus money bets, have come through in big
money,
ways.
Plus money, baby.
Plus money, yeah. So both those ones are good. You have a bet that you like for the Super Bowl?
I was on Purdy rushing. I actually might look at the alt line
when
it goes to it. So 12.5 is where it is. It's starting to move to about minus 125, minus 130.
A little 40 plus? Let's get weird.
That would be wild. How about 20 plus?
You go 20
plus, get it at plus money, take a page out of Lawrence's playbook. Yeah. I really, really like that. I wonder where Pacheco's attempts are going to land at, too.
Because like 16 and a half.
I would go over that immediately. Yeah. I mean, they are just leaning on him. This is a Chiefs team that their identity is different. They are a power run-heavy team.
Yeah.
Tooney probably being out, that makes you a little nervous, but I don't think they get away from their
identity. They didn't away from it against the Ravens.
They didn't care.
Isaiah Pacheco didn't have a high yards per carry. At one point, he had 16 carries for 47 yards. So, like, they're going to run the ball. Like, they have to.
Yep. Little bonus one as well. Like, if you like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, which you two do.
Yes, I'm
riding with the Niners. It's a 2-point favorite. When I tell people I like the Niners, it's like I'm taking the Jags to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It's like they're the Niners. They're the 2-point favorites for a reason. But if you do like the Chiefs, I would prefer to bet them at plus money to win the first half. So think about how good their scripted offense looked against Baltimore, how shaky the Niners have looked in the first halves of both of their playoff games. So that would be my look. If you want to bet the Chiefs, I would prefer to take them in the first half.
Yeah, that was my first bet when we did opening lines.
Yep.
The Chiefs first half money line is still
I like
good
that
money.
One as well.
Good
yeah.
money. We got a loaded day tomorrow, guys.
Dude.
Loaded
ridiculous day tomorrow.
We're going to talk
Matthew's
to
in trouble.
Yeah. You need, I mean,
I know.
It'll be good.
We'll see.
No
well, we have plans tonight. We have big plans tonight. So
we
you
do.
Guys will have to keep me under wraps.
Me
yeah, all of us is, as well. So that'll be fun. We'll save that story for tomorrow morning.
But, oh, it's good.
We'll tell Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Matthew's
the
on.
Goat. The GOAT. Matt Ryan.
Yes, there you go.
So for the first time, you'll be on this set with a better Matthews. How do you feel about that?
Not sure I agree with it, but it depends on, you know. He is a pretty good broadcaster.
He's a better quarterback. You're a better fantasy analyst.
Exactly.
Probably.
But broadcaster, he's probably better than me as well. That's the thing. It's just like, literally, like, whatever.
No, I'm looking forward to it. You started to throw with a bit more heat in Las Vegas. Made the Dan Haran comparison early. Now you're creeping up more to Joel Zamaya.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. But, Emmitt Smith. I can just yell at him for all the years he killed my Washington football team as well.
Max Crosby,
that'll be fun.
That's a big one.
I should be promoting that.
It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can stay here. Thank you, Jalen Hyatt, Kendrick Bourne, Puka Nacua, Peacocky winner, Lawrence Jackson, Connor Rogers, Jay Croucher. I'm Matthew Berry. We will see you tomorrow live from Las Vegas. Peace out.
That? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric CDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.